Airlines are being much more punctual in 2009. Boeing wins a patent infringement suit against NASA. And a study finds Airbus beats Boeing in employee productivity. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, April 10th, 2009. U.S. domestic airlines achieved a higher rate of on-time flights in February than they did in either January or February of last year. Based on their reports to the DOT's Bureau of Transportation Statistics, the 19 carriers reporting got to their arrival gates within 15 minutes of scheduled times 82.6% of the time in February. That's up sharply from the 68.6 recorded a year earlier. Hawaiian Airlines remained a leader at 91.2% on time, flying routes that are rarely affected by weather. Southwest, though, was in second at 88.3, and Pinnacle in third at 86.8. Bringing up the rear were Alaska Airlines at 76.3%, Comair at 76.6, and Continental at 77.7. Significantly, the worst this year beat the average from a year ago. Find more details in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Boeing has won a significant patent infringement claim against NASA. The Seattle Times reports Boeing sued the federal government in 2000, claiming NASA had improperly utilized an aluminum alloy developed by Boeing in the 1970s to construct thinner-walled external fuel tanks for the shuttle fleet, allowing greater payloads. Those tanks were built by Lockheed Martin and first flew in 1998. Boeing first went to Lockheed for compensation, but was told to take it up with NASA. In its suit, Boeing sought a 3.5% royalty on tanks built using its patent. U.S. Federal Claims Court Judge Francis Allegra ruled that Boeing was owed just 1.25%, but that still amounts to over $334 million. Boeing spokesman Joseph Todino commented, quote, "While we prefer to avoid litigation, Boeing has an obligation to its shareholders and employees to protect the company's valuable intellectual property. Boeing is satisfied with the decision," unquote. The obvious cost-benefit questions surrounding the Transportation Security Administration's new Security Directive 8F are escaping the confines of aviation circles and finding their way into general media reporting. A Denver Post story on Monday observed that a new TSA requirement that each of Colorado's 13 commercial airports develop their own security badges and background checks for pilots is perplexing airport managers. Starting June 1st, pilots without badges will have to wait for escorts to fueling stations and even to their own planes. Rex Tippetts of Grand Junction's Walker Field estimates he'll need 2,000 additional security checks and badges. Quote, "It's out of control. We have a large maintenance operation here with 400 people. We have a large interagency firefighting operation here with maintenance facilities," unquote. To defray the costs of the programs, pilots needing access to the ramp at Grand Junction will be charged $130 each for badges, which will not be honored at any other airport. The TSA reportedly refused a request to provide a copy of the directive to the paper. In a finding that's likely to stick in the craw of the IAM, a new study finds Airbus workers are more productive dollar for euro than Boeing employees. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports that Liam Group analyst Scott Hamilton obtained a copy of the Deloitte Group study conducted for the Snohomish County Economic Development Commission. The point was apparently to determine the appeal of Washington to aerospace companies considering a move. The study found Airbus uses fewer workers and pays them less. The European workers, to be fair, also enjoy a lower cost of living. Airbus was also deemed better at labor relations. The study gave Washington better marks for the state's skilled labor force, a competitive tax environment, and overall quality of life. Crime levels are typically lower in Washington, and its residents are healthier. It's not just foreign countries that threaten to attract away jobs wanted in Puget Sound. Boeing execs have warned for decades that should the Seattle area become known as a strike zone, future Boeing assembly operations could wind up in right-to-work states with more sunshine and less union clout. Up next on ANN, a second stimulus grant comes to DFW. The U.S. and China will collaborate on greener aviation. And a Wisconsin wildfire spotter is lost in a crash. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 10th. I'm Paul Plagg. Officials of Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport learned Wednesday they'll get another $2 million in federal stimulus funds through the FAA. That brings the total to date to $8.8 million. The money will be used for the renovation of runway 13 left, 31 right, including lighting and surface repairs. U.S. Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood made the announcement in Washington, D.C. DFW CEO Jeff Feagan thanked U.S. Representative Eddie Bernice Johnson of Dallas for her assistance in securing the grant, adding, quote, "This grant will help keep DFW extremely cost competitive for our airlines. These funds will also mean new opportunities for local businesses to do more work at DFW," unquote. The airport operates 7 runways and handles more than 650,000 takeoffs and landings per year. With the stroke of a pen, the FAA Tuesday agreed to work in cooperation with China to share best environmental practices at airports in the two countries. The agreement was reached at the U.S.-China Aviation Symposium in Beijing. The FAA's Acting Assistant Administrator for International Aviation, Dee Reimold, said the symposium also touched on air traffic and safety. Quote, "Aviation is a global endeavor. If we're going to someday achieve a truly seamless global aviation system and the highest level of safety possible, we're going to need to work together," unquote. The aviation industry in China is experiencing tremendous growth. Before the 2008 Summer Olympics, the Beijing Capital International Airport got a new terminal twice the size of the Pentagon, capable of handling 50 million passengers a year. A pilot was lost Wednesday in Wisconsin while conducting forest fire suppression operations. The New Richmond News reports 36-year-old Heath Van Handel was the only soul on board a Cessna 337 Skymaster Centerline Twin that crashed near Pittsville. He was once a CFI at Kansas State University Salina, but went to work in 2006 for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. On Wednesday, he was dispatched to observe a wildfire near Cary. The FAA and NTSB were expected on scene yesterday. Airline Transport Professionals, a nationwide flight training provider, has announced a large-scale rollout of traffic information service by providing its entire staff of flight instructors with an MRX portable collision avoidance system by Zaon Flight Systems. The MRX displays approximate range and relative altitude for nearby traffic in a device the size of a deck of cards, helping pilots maintain situational awareness in the flight training environment. ATP's Vice President of Flight Operations, Jim Koziarski, commented, quote, "It would have taken years to retrofit all 142 aircraft in our training fleet with TIS capability, but the Zaon PCAS made it possible for us to quickly and cost-effectively implement TIS on a very large scale nationwide," unquote. ATP says it flies over 12,000 hours to provide more than 450 FAA pilot certifications each month at 25 locations. Still ahead, how much would you pay for a ride in the Spirit of St. Louis? How much for dinner with John Glenn? And reporters get a personal lesson in the value of private jets. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, April 10th. I'm Paul Plagg. The Lindbergh Foundation announced Wednesday its third annual online auction includes only one item, a ride in the Spirit of St. Louis. There will be up to 12 winners possible. The EAA Spirit of St. Louis replica will appear during the weekend of the 2009 Lindbergh Award Celebration, May 15th through 17th, at the EAA AirVenture Pioneer Airport. Only auction winners will get to ride, and the foundation says this Spirit replica will not make another public appearance until 2011. The official start of the bidding process will be announced at a press conference April 22nd at Lakeland. The original Spirit of St. Louis hangs in the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum. Very few flying replicas exist, and the EAA replica is the only one in the world capable of carrying a passenger. The large fuel tank located ahead of the seat in the original is replaced by a seat and set of controls in the replica. That frees up the rear seat for passengers to have the same view experienced by Charles Lindbergh during his famous transatlantic crossing. Another auction, this one to benefit the Astronaut Scholarship Foundation, offers dinner with John Glenn. If you're the high bidder, there will be no shortage of topics to discuss over dinner. Glenn was a member of the original Mercury 7, became the first American to orbit the Earth in 1962, and the oldest human to orbit the Earth in 1998, at age 77, aboard the Space Shuttle Discovery. He kept busy between flights by serving 24 years as a U.S. Senator from Ohio. Also up for bid are astronaut autographs and space artifacts that flew in outer space and to the surface of the moon. More than 50 astronauts in all have donated items from their personal collections or signed artifacts. Online bidding is now open. It closes April 18th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. The Astronaut Scholarship Foundation funds 19 $10,000 scholarships every year and has awarded more than $2.6 million so far to students nationwide. Find the auction at www.astronautscholarship.org. Click on News and Events, then look under Current and Upcoming Events. And finally, journalists covering Washington politics lately have heard plenty of indignant politicians condemning those who use private aircraft to meet deadlines the airlines can't handle. But they recently got a firsthand lesson in the value of private jets. CNN's political blog notes President Obama left Baghdad about 2 p.m. Tuesday aboard his own taxpayer-provided private jet, Air Force One. The mob of reporters, which follows him everywhere, was to follow a few hours later on a United 777 departing Istanbul, Turkey. But while President Obama pulled out on time, the reporters were told there was a problem with their plane. It was grounded by the failure of an electric motor that allows adjustment of the left seat in the cockpit. Many among the press corps apparently decided that excuse was implausible and began to blog and tweet a variety of colorful conspiracy theories about secret plans for presidential travel free of press coverage. Finally, the director of the White House Travel Office, Peter Newell, told the group that United failed to get the needed repair part on the earliest flight from London to Istanbul, then also missed the next flight and was bringing in another 777 out of Dubai to become a left-seat organ donor to get the press plane legal. The correspondents at least got dinner and a free room for the night in Istanbul, paid for by United, but they also got compensation for their trouble that itself may provide a future example of why people who don't have to fly the airlines don't. United is giving them double miles for the trip. Now, just try to actually use those. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, you'll hear my conversation with Master CFI Rich Stoll, who has become the first former member of NAFI to renew his Master CFI credentials through Master Instructors LLC, formed by two founding members of the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.